always been involved in music basically my whole life, but during college, I decided to do an environmental studies major. I think I was looking for other things besides music that I could sort of make a living at before I finally realized I wanted to do music, or I had to do music for a living. And I've always, sort of been a naturalist and always been really interested in wildlife and animals and, saving the planet and all that stuff. So I actually, after I graduated with a degree in environmental studies and even worked for the California Coastal Commission and did other things before eventually kind of going into computers and then finding my way into music. So once I fell in love with really film scoring and later video game scoring, I always loved working on like nature documentaries. I'd been involved in writing some of the music for Discovery Channel's Life, and also had some involvement in the latest BBC's Planet Earth 2. I've also composed music for like a documentary film about the Los Angeles River. I go to a lot of game conferences throughout the year, and I hang around the indie area, and I meet developers, and I just happen to run into these guys, and they have this game where you're flying as a bird over these beautiful, pristine lake, and it just looked amazing, and I was immediately drawn to it just because it really falls within my interests. And so I introduced myself to these guys, and they were like, well, we're really looking for a composer who's, worked on TV shows like BBC's Planet Earth and, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that's me. So it was really kind of a perfect match. I think I met them like a day or two later at their studio and had a chance to try out the game on the Vive. And the first experience I had was kind of, they must have had me like it's something similar of the way a mouse's perspective in nature would be, because suddenly I was like on the bottom of this forest floor looking up at this deer that looked like it was 100 feet tall, like some kind of Godzilla experience. But I was just so blown away by what I saw and just really excited to work on the project with these guys. So it's been a great collaboration so far. And we're actually just developing the first episode, which will be like a 30-minute episode where you're playing as a different animal. And it's going to be even a lot more significant than this. But this will be our first thing that's getting released, and we're really excited about it.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to have lots to talk about because you've sent me some samples of the music. This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington, and I'm talking with Mike Rasnick about this just incredible project called Away. It's kind of a hybrid. It's a game, sort of, but it's also, as you were saying, a kind of like a nature documentary. And it must have been a really interesting process to kind of develop the music, because it's not just like writing to picture, because the player has some freedom to just hang out and move around. And yet there are these sequences where you do have to write to picture. So it must have given you just a lot of ideas and some interesting challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. There was some requirements, I guess, around the music that was going to be written, and we really wanted it to be like immersive and something that felt like it was part of like a nature documentary. So this definitely, while I've worked on just a ton of video games over the last 10 years, it's about 90% of what I do. I mean, this really did call back to some of the, again, like the nature documentary sound and that kind of thing. So we were really going for like something orchestral and something that sounded, contemporary and similar to like a Planet Earth and that kind of thing. And so, so we put a lot of some different music ideas in front of the picture and got pretty clear about what we were looking for. And I think, especially with it being a virtual reality game, the first step really is doing something that complements, full immersion. So, I mean, not as if you're not immersed enough. I mean, you start out on this cliff, in this nest, and you're looking around at these bones that you've been eating and that kind of stuff, and hearing the sounds of birds. And so, so the music almost, it almost feels like, you're in a prehistoric world or something. I think that's kind of what I was going for at the very beginning. But then, the big moment, and, I think something that I've always been curious about is, what would it be like to be a bird? What would it be like to fly? And certainly, I mean, the first real step that you take in the game is to take off. You hear this boom and you don't really know what it is. And in the game, you're sort of following like another bird, which is kind of leading you through the experience in a way. You can still fly left or right, but you always kind of have to stay at a certain distance to the other bird. But taking off and flying, all of a sudden, it just gets, the ground gets further and further away. And in the virtual reality world, you feel that. And you know, especially the first time playing the game, I literally felt like I was gonna like fall over. I'm like, holy crap, I'm flying. So the first step was really scoring that experience, you know, regardless, because that's really the emotional draw, I think, you know, and the big moment of the game for me is just taking that first flight, really. I think I scored like a minute and a half sequence, you know, where it was just that, and however you sort of did it, you know, you'd still experience it in a similar fashion. And then from there, you know, basically the music, it for the most part, you know, has a certain arc to it as a storyline. It gets more intense, and you have some cool experiences as you're sort of flying. I did try to score that loosely. And then eventually it was really the way that it was implemented into the game with, you know, various loops and some transitions and that kind of thing to make the music sort of work with however much velocity the player was going through the game. If they were going through slowly, then the music could be drawn out a little more. If they were flying through quickly and experiencing the game a little bit faster, then it could serve that as well.
Wow. I would imagine that one of the real challenges when you're starting a project like this is kind of deciding on what the instrumental palette is going to be. And you'd mentioned that, you know, there are some really amazing flying themes by John Williams and other composers and classical composers. And so as you were kind of working through what you wanted it to sound like, what sorts of things, I mean, like, what composers did you feel like really had the sound that you wanted for this?
Wow, that's an interesting one. You know, I think I was just really just heard the sound that I think I was looking for, and I don't know if I really followed, you know, what was in classical music, because in a sense this had a simplicity to it, and I just wanted to feel the emotion of you know what the experience was like, and so I was really drawn to. You know, simple as it sounds, really just like, you know, a beautiful like chord progression with, you know, with string pads, you know, meaning, you know, they were just, you know, playing these just as lush a string sound as I could kind of, you know, create with the, you know, with the orchestra that I had. So I was really relying on the you know, violins, violas, cello and bass, really, and just a cohesive string sound. And what was really amazing was just even having like, you know, one chord and then just having good voice leading into another chord and then holding that out for, you know, like, you know, six bars, for instance, and just hearing that. And I think a big part of that was also recording it live with the orchestra, where you just had all these players in the room who were doing it properly. And it just sounded so, so lovely. I mean, it was just, you know, again, like I listened to it and I'm like, I think it really serves the experience really well, because I think, you know, there's already enough going on when you're in the game and you're flying and you're looking around and you hear the wind and the flapping of, you know, of your wings. And I think if there was too much music, it could easily get in the way of the experience. And so I wanted the music to sort of float, you know, to kind of exist and to add to the emotion without telling too much of a story. And so, you know, I just found sort of an, you know, an orchestral palette kind of that just worked really nicely in terms of, you know, the way that I used the violas to kind of create this two-part pad and then have the, you know, the cello and bass, you know, on the sort of the low end and have the violins kind of playing this very, very light melody, but just having a sound that just all worked together to just feel really beautiful. You know, and then having some kind of, you know, locomotion. So it felt like there was some movement going forward with, you know, again, just with some short strings playing under that and around it. And then even adding some flutes, which the developer thought, you know, added a nice hopeful feeling. But just having a little bit of these, you know, these beautiful flutes on top, it also creates just a sense of air and just the feeling of, you know, just the feeling of flying, but not, you know, not like in, you know, a 1980s or 1990s movie, for instance, where you just have this big theme and it's over the top and you're in tears. And, you know, it wasn't so much of that. It was just more of a natural experience and really trying to complement that in the best way possible.
Yeah. And the way that the natural world is portrayed in the game is very mm-hmm. simple, because there's nothing man-made in it. It's just nothing but nature. So
what's so incredible about it? It's really unique in that way, and it's and really enjoyable to experience.
Well, you mentioned that you got to see a version of it from like a mouse's point of view, and so I'm wondering, as the series progresses, is the music going to change at all to reflect, you know, the perspective of these different animals that you get
Absolutely.
To play?
Yeah, very much so. I think that each of these episodes, you know, we'll see. I think there's two that are planned right now that'll come up in the future. But I think each of them are going to be really unique, because I think you really have to consider, you know, what the experience is. Whether, you know, where this one you're flying. I mean, I think in the next one there's going to be flying also, but, you know, flying on a different scale, you know, as a smaller animal. And I won't divulge too much right now. But you know, but there also might be some scurrying around on the ground or some tree climbing. And I think each of those experiences, you know, suggests like a certain tempo or velocity of like how fast the animal climbs, how many footsteps it takes to get from one point to another. And you can kind of feel it like, you know, when it's almost like choreographing a dance or something. You know, if they're moving really quickly and taking small steps, I think the music would tell a very different story than if you're, you know, doing like one flap every like 6 seconds kind of thing, and you're high up in the air, you know. And so I think, yeah, I think the instruments could be different, or if they're strings, maybe it would be like, you know, pizzicato instruments or more like plucking kind of sounds, or more like, you know, fast percussion kind of things. And maybe some, you know, woodwinds or something for some smaller instruments, or so I think it could vary quite a bit, but it, you know, it really will depend in the end, you know, once I sort of see the visuals and have a chance to experience the game and see how it makes me feel, and then again, you know, how to really tell the story through music in a way that that it really complements the experience was with, you know, without telling the viewer or the person experiencing the project, you know, too much about what they should be, you know, thinking, you know, let them kind of experience for themselves since it's such an immersive environment.
Yeah. And that's a really fine line that I'm sure you have to balance, because the music in this experience really does a lot of the emotional heavy lifting. And yet, you know, I hate it when the music is kind of clubbing me over the head and telling me what I'm supposed to be feeling right now. So it must be a real challenge to kind of get that nailed down.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, I think a lot of it is writing something and then just, you know, I'm very self-critical. So I just love to just sit and kind of be with like what I've written and then maybe let a day go by and then still see how I still feel about it. And if I'm not like getting goosebumps over stuff, then I know it's probably not great. So that's always what I'm looking for, is I just, you know, I get this feeling, it's almost like an endorphin rush or something when I know I've written something good. And if I still kind of feel that like a day later, then I know that it's probably going to work out pretty well. That's what I'm always going after.
So are they sending you like beta builds of the game so you can try it out in the game, or is it pretty much finished when you get to see it and then add your music?
No, it's very much a work in progress. I mean, I've never tried to develop a game or a virtual reality game especially, but I know that like, you know, the art tends to keep getting developed, and at least on this last version of it, I think it was sort of a feedback loop a little bit between the music and the art, so that, you know, once I created the music, they were like, they got really excited, and then they were working harder on the art, and then I would see the art and I'm like, oh god, this is beautiful, and then how can I make this sound a little better? So the team who's working on the project, Breaking Walls, they're over in Montreal, Canada. They, I know that the guys who sort of are running, you know, the whole development team are like artists. And so, you know, they have a really, a great eye, and they're always looking to sort of up the production level of what they're doing. So I know that's really the thing. And then, you know, certainly with the gameplay mechanic, and just for them, I think they were trying, you know, having the experience be faster or slower, and then making you like, you know, even an advanced version so you could fly through a little faster, and you know, which could result in dying quicker, you know, or dying if you you know, run into a tree or something like that. But so yeah, I mean, I think it's an ongoing process right up until the end. It's really about, you know, about kind of deciding on a deadline and saying we're going to finish this project by this date, so we're just going to do as much as we can up until that point.
Yeah, well, you mentioned dying too, which is an interesting aspect with the kind of game that this is, that you can die, and that led to some different stingers that you wrote. Are they dependent on the kind of death that you have as a player?
Yeah, sort of. It isn't like, I guess the game, you know, it's not like fully in reality. There was a tension that was ultimately decided that would be built into the into the gameplay, and so, you know, so while there is like a real nature aspect of it, and you know, and the voiceover, it's not really strictly a nature documentary. It's still kind of, you know, an adventure game where, you know, where you're playing as this bird, but you're going through dangerous situations that you know, a bird would questionably or not questionably maybe experience in real life. So anyway, yeah. So there is like, you know, the bird does go through a scene where you know, where potentially things get really you know, really tense. And so inside of that, you know, the music is kind of changing throughout the experience. I always consider myself a storyteller with my music, and so that, you know, the music progresses either through, you know, the chord changes, or also through the, you know, the dynamics, and whether, you know, especially after you're sort of out of like, you know, flying in these cliffs and valleys, you're going through this forest, and then in the intensity gets bigger, you know, as you progress through the forest and this fire and this whole thing like that. And so as that, you know, as that intensity heightens, there's a chance that that the bird could either run into a tree or die in a couple of other ways. And so for each of those scenarios, I had to really write, you know, a musical ending. if he met his end, the death stinger would still work with the music. And so I created about 10 different pieces of music that would work for various parts of the soundtrack. So if the bird died at a certain point, the music would fit that moment where the music was in the soundtrack when that happened.
Oh, man. And I'm sure because the music that I've heard so far is just so amazing. I mean, the rhythmic quality to it and just the lushness of it, that when you die, there's probably like this real moment of disappointment because the music is over, too.
Well, thanks, Kate. Yeah.
You know, you've got so much experience now writing music for games and writing interactive music. And I would just love to know, because it's probably second nature for you at this point, but how do you know when you've got a theme or a kind of a foundation track that's going to work to add layers of intensity on top of it?
You know, that's a great question. I think it depends quite a bit. A lot of it depends on the project and who I'm working with. There's a number of different ways that I tend to work. I think over the years, I think one of the more common ways that I'll work with developers when starting out a project is to really try to understand, you know, what their project is about and what they're looking for emotionally and also musically. And developers will often, there's a range of what they know that they're looking for. Some will be really, really specific and have exact pieces of music in mind, and they'll send me music and say, you know, we're looking for this, can you do that? And then, you know, my job is more about, you know, finding, you know, my own voice within like another piece of music and creating something original, but something that really is close to or emotionally calls back, or even maybe melodically, you know, references some other piece of music that's been, you know, either in a film or a previous game or maybe just in pop music or something like that, or classical music. And sometimes like developers don't exactly know what they're looking for, and I'll just try to get as much information as I can. Sometimes it's a matter of getting images, from the game or playthrough videos to see what the game looks like in its current state of development. Sometimes, you know, the game hasn't been created at all, and just going off of maybe a script or a game design document or things like that. And in that case, what we'll do a lot of is I'll say, well, maybe we can go in this direction, and I'll choose maybe like 20 or 30 pieces of music that I just find either from my music library or searching around on YouTube or other areas, and sending them stuff and saying, well, what do you think of this? And maybe asking them to do the same. So, you know, maybe we'll get a whole repository of music tracks and then just start to take things apart and say, well, I like, you know, the tempo on this one, but I like the strings on this one, I like the melody on this, and really start to put together kind of like a sample palette of where we think, a soundtrack can really go and grow from there. And then at a certain point, we'll decide that we have enough information to start trying out some ideas. And once I've got a pretty solid idea of what I think they want, what I think that, you know, I can, I either want to do with a project or I think will actually work for the project, then I'll actually start writing some music demos. And I usually work pretty hard on that, especially in the beginning, you know, especially like finding a good memorable theme or an idea that, you know, that has some legs that, you know, that can really grow into something bigger. I'll spend some time to really, you know, sit down at the piano oftentimes, or the guitar or the synthesizer or whatever type of score it is, and come up with something. But usually like some kind of thematic material is really great. And then it'll be again, you know, a process of iteration sometimes of it'll either work right off or we'll, you know, kind of refine things a little bit and, you know, come up with a concept that really works for the project.
it sounds like such a fun process to go through, to just the trial and error. And then it must be a great feeling when you finally realize that you've kind of nailed it.
Absolutely. It's always exciting because, you know, very oftentimes it's, you know, it's something new. And, you know, certainly my favorite thing is just when the person I'm working with really puts their trust in me and allows me to kind of be, you know, just be creative, really, and you know, try to come up with something that's different or original or something where I can really use my own voice as opposed to, you know, just, you know, coming up with like a style that's already been done that they just think is going to work for the project. So, it, you know, it works both ways, but it's always a whole lot of fun. And, you know, every day is an adventure, really.
Yeah, and that's a great way to live too, because you never know what's around the corner. And you mentioned being able to write music kind of in your own voice and music that was like really unusual that hasn't been heard before in a game. And I think your score for Spate really really nails that. I was just so surprised when I listened to it. It wasn't what I expected at all. That sophisticated use of strings and that intensity is just really wonderful. I mean, it's like listening, you know, to Bartok or Vaughan Williams or Ravel. What kind of freedom did you have with the game developer for that? Because it sounds like that was a project that you're really proud of.
Yeah, I had ridiculous amounts of freedom. It was really off the charts, and it was really that type of project that I mean, it was a wonderful project to work on. It'll always probably be one of the favorite ones that I've ever done, just because you know, the art style was absolutely amazing, and the subject matter was just so off the wall and crazy that I almost couldn't do any wrong. But like, the further I went out and kind of taking chances or doing things that were just weird in a musical context, it all worked. So it just was really, really fun. But I mean, the game basically centered around the whole subject matter of this drunken detective who pretty much lost his way, lost his wife and lost his daughter. And he was trying to sort, you know, solve this, you know, this mystery where all these people had disappeared off this island and it was toxic. And at the same time, he was like an alcoholic who was addicted to drinking absinthe. And in the game, especially absinthe, it was really seen as, you know, a very like hardcore psychedelic. And in the game, you could actually drink absinthe and the game would get warped and he'd run faster, but be crazier. So, you know, there was just, you know, I could just be aleatoric in the project, and I could, you know, with my musical themes, it just didn't have to make sense, you know? And that just made it wildly fun. So, I mean, I could create textures and we decided to record with a string quartet and also, you know, record a couple pieces with an orchestra. And then I also just had the pleasure of working with some really, really great musicians on that project. I had Martin Tillman, who's just an amazing cello player, who plays both electric cello and acoustic cello. And he's played on scores like Pirates of the Caribbean and a lot of, and Batman, in the Batman series, by Christopher Nolan. And so he was just wonderful to collaborate with as well. So it was really just an amazing creative process all around. and the developer of the game, you know, he just seemed on board with like everything that I did. He just, you know, I think some of the versions of the songs, I did like 10 versions of them. And I think even on version one, he was like, oh, it's great, you know, but I just kept going because I just was so into it. I was like, I don't want this to end.
Well, and then what's fun too, when you get support like that from the developer, is it kind of encourages you to sort of keep pushing and pushing and upping the bar to see.
Yeah. I mean, that project was just a true passion project in every way. I mean, I spent way too much time on it, but you know, every moment of it was just the best. I mean, yeah, I would love to do more of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I mean, this is such an interesting time to be a game composer, I think, because developers and studios are really getting away from cliches. So it gives composers, I think, a really wonderful opportunity to do something that's like really out there and really different.
Absolutely. Actually, that's really one of my favorite things about being a game composer. And I mean, you know, film and TV, there's so much good media content happening right now. It's absolutely incredible. And I think that's one of the really exciting parts of kind of, you know, being in this industry, is you really don't know what's, you know, coming around the corner. And it, you know, it could, one day you might not like, you know, be working, and the next day you might be on like the most amazing project you've ever heard of. And you know, it's always exciting. It's really, you know, it is.
Yeah, that's neat. And I was just so, I think it's so neat in your biography, you mentioned that you're related to the violin virtuoso Yasha Heifetz.
Which, oh, sure, yeah.
That is so cool. And what's neat about that is, you know, he took a lot of chances too. And what I really admired about him is he didn't keep classical music in a silo. I mean, he played the Korngold Concerto that was based on movie themes, and he had an appearance, or at least his hands did, in that film Humoresque. And so it seems like if he was still around now, he would be like totally appreciative of what you're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's, my mom has always told me that we're related. I wish I had a chance to speak with him one day.
Yeah.
Pretty's a wild person.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, Mike, it's been so much fun to talk with you, and I really appreciate your time. Away sounds like an absolutely fascinating project, and I can't wait to experience it. So thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kate. It's great to speak with you as well. I'm glad to meet you.